This is with the Department of Building Inspection, and we have a lot of guests here to look at the Scrap House, which is built as a collaborative effort as part of World Environment Day. World Environment Week, Laura?
Actually, World Environment Day, which is celebrated on Sunday, but there's a week of activities that lead up to it.
Okay, so the Department of Building Inspection and Mr. John Peterson here, his nonprofit group called Public Architecture is the umbrella sponsor of the Scrap House. And we have a few guests just joining us to walk along and ask questions. The Scrap House is a building built entirely of reclaimed, recycled, and scavenged materials from San Francisco with a huge team of volunteer architects, engineers, contractors. I bet we had, what do you think, 150?
Probably 150 and all told. Who knows?
Who knows? We have a list, 100, because we actually know because someone is filming it for a documentary, and everybody who walks on the site has to sign the release. So we have great record keeping. So what we're going to do now is walk over and talk about the Scrap House, and we have our questioners along with us. Harvey Hacker is an architect in the city. Brad Tardy is also an architect who's done a lot of tenant improvement and commercial remodeling, and really knows where the materials come from and go to as well, which is why I asked Brad to be with us today. So let's walk on up. We tried to make this entirely disabled accessible. Come on and take a stroll. Smooth non-skid surfaces. The Scrap House here is set up for people to enter in the front door and go around the back. So what do we see when we're here? John, why don't you tell us what we're looking at real fast here?
Oh, well, you know, this is our big front door, and what you're seeing in the material across the wall panel is metal, what they call metal drops. It's what comes off of the jump shear at a metal shop when they're cutting sheets of metal to get it to the size that they want to make a duct or whatever they're making. And so this is their trash. And so we just went around and collected piles of what's on the backside of their shear and nailed them up as shingles, and we've got an exterior siding.
And it looks like, Harvey, what do you think? Does it look like the Bilbao titanium siding to you? Precisely like that, really. And over here we have a really unusual material to put on the siding of a building. John, what's that?
Those are residential shower doors. It's just the glass out of the most common sort of sliding shower door. We painted the back. You can see the sort of ripply glass surface, and then we just painted the back and then mounted them as actually not so unlike, you know, glass skins on high-rise buildings.
Isn't there a building down on Howard Street that has a glass skin also?
Yeah, glass skin buildings are really common.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a little, obviously, it's our own sort of scrappy version of that. Those are the black, the brackets are just metal straps that we bent. In fact, you and I sort of worked that out, right?
We did.
And those are the gaskets around it are bicycle inner tubes.
That's right, bicycle inner tubes. So you don't want the glass hitting the metal. Other things we have here, we have glass. One of the real dramatic architectural elements of the building, obviously, are the glass walls, the scrap metal and the glass walls. And the glass, everyone says, where does the glass come from? And the glass is actually over orders. So when somebody builds a building, they have to have a little extra in case a worker breaks a piece or it breaks in the installation. You can't stop and reorder your glass. You have to have extra glass in all sizes. And this is the stuff that would have ended up in the dumpster at the project that was just finished down at South Beach. And we trucked it over here. It's very heavy, so it's set on welded steel frames. And it's double insulated, double glazing and insulated. But of course the house is not heated or cooled, so insulation is not a big issue for us. What else do we see out here? Anybody have any questions about what we see on the outside?
A little bit about the fish tank and the fountain.
Ah, the fish pond and the fountain. Well, there are a couple of things about my little fish pond and my fountain. The shower doors are very delicate, so the fish pond is one way to keep people, especially kids, from going up and tapping on the doors and having a, you know, they're tempered glass and they're a little delicate. The fish, we can take a look. Let's go up and take a look at the fish here. This is actually one of the most unusual things about the whole house here. Somebody came over here in the far corner, maybe you can see it, someone had put into our fish pond a gigantic catfish. Talk about a scrap fish. They set this cat, they turned it loose in the fish pond. Here, I'll see if I can, there he is. There he goes. You see him? There are a lot of little goldfish. Those are the feeder fish. They're scrap fish, too, from a store on Clement Street at 5th. There's our catfish. And somebody, I don't know where, maybe a restaurant from the tank, but they stuck them in here. And the fish after this are going to go to Builders Resources, where they have a fish pond, where they'll grow out their happy lives. Okay, and the steel frame, we can see the steel frame, which forms both the structure to hang the glass on and is also a seismic brace frame for the building to help make it earthquake safe. There's no foundation. This whole building is sitting up on a plywood platform with just some stakes in the ground because the wind load against the side of the building is such that we want to make sure it doesn't slowly slide across the grass out to some unknown location up against the parking meters or something. Okay, let's go on in. So this is built entirely of scrap. Everything is junk. Everything is beautiful, recycled, scavenged, reused materials. Walls of telephone books.
Yep.
Now someone came in and wanted a number, but it turned out that these are telephone books from San Mateo Central, really. So, but they actually came in here and tried to find a number. So there are some utility to this kind of scrap as well.
Actually serve as a form of insulation if the house was actually to be insulated.
Yeah, I bet it's a very high, high R value.
Well, the cellulose insulation that's being used now for green buildings, that's paper.
Right.
Recycled paper.
Yeah, usually that's shredded up and they mix with boric acid. What do they mix? Something with it to keep the insects. Boric acid. What's that?
You can shred it and turn it into insulation.
Right. And then they blow it in, right?
Yeah. What's the purpose of the house here? It's pretty fascinating, but why is it here?
Why is the house here? Well, that's a question.
He could have this show.
Yeah. Why is the house here from your
point? Why is the house here? Well, it's a temporary house, obviously. At least certainly temporary here. But it's here to illustrate a couple of points. Maybe 5 or 10 points. Lawrence has his, 5. I've got my 5. Everyone's got a few points that they're trying to make with this house.
What are a couple of yours?
My two main ones are to illustrate what it is that we throw away, the value of the things that we throw away, and also illustrate that the things that one doesn't see immediately as valuable may be looked at in a different light, in a transformed way, may actually be valuable. So, we've talked about some of it. These doors...
The floor is made out of doors. These are solid core fire doors, right?
Just below Laura's feet, that's the peephole to a door right there, so you can see all the parts of doors.
And that's where the handles go, and here's a glass panel you would have looked through, which is filled with
concrete.
And
what's interesting is these things served us pretty well, right?
Remarkably well.
Yeah, because we needed some very stiff material, because our base, what we started with, these platforms that we were able to get a hold of, needed a lot of stiffening, and it's even still a little...
Yeah. Remember, we're just on a plywood platform here.
But the doors actually really worked because they helped stiffen up this floor.
And here's this phenomenal table. Everyone loves this table. Now, this is not just recycled. This is, the art in the greatest way of thinking of art, right? And everyone loves it.
The maker is Miles Epstein, and this is just obviously corrugated cardboard, and he's used it in a bunch of different ways. These are sonotubes.
Sonotubes are cardboard tubes that either you use to fill with concrete or forms, or in some ways sometimes just to roll stuff around.
It's amazingly solid, too.
It's pretty solid. I would probably, want to put something to protect it on top, if it was...
You've got a tool here that's also made out of cardboard, you can see.
Oh, yeah.
Wrapped cardboard around the tube, and then he just carved it down to get that sort of... that bongo look.
The bongo look, right. Great. Terrific. What else do we have? We have sheet metal. This was obviously just sitting outside in the back of somebody's yard. We have our scavengers digging out, just junk. How about the... here's a lovely piece of art. Harvey, you know about this art. We may not know the name of the artist, but...
I'm ashamed that I forget the name of the artist, although I've seen his pieces at the Yerba Buena Center and at a derelict hotel exhibit on Sixth and Howard, I think.
Sixth and Howard.
And it's someone whose work I admired a lot, so I apologize for forgetting his name.
It's a lovely piece crawling up the side of our wall here. And the building is called Defenestration, the one that's at Sixth and Howard, right?
Yes.
And it's still there, the project. You can go down and check it out. It's really wonderful. Let's see.
How long did it take to build this?
The project started 6 weeks ago at our very first meeting where we said, let's see, what do you think about building a demonstration building? 6 weeks from start to finish. It took just 2 weeks of construction, and which is crazy, which is no time at all. This is Pat Buskovich, the structural engineer on this crazy project. It took 2 weeks to build. Most of the walls were built in panels off the site at a vacant lot down in the south of Market. And then we trucked them up here and set them with a crane, bolted them together, welded up the steel frames. What do you think, Pat?
Well, it's going to be a shame that it's not here for eternity. I'd like to move in. I'd like to live down here at City Hall.
A lot of folks. You'd like to live at City Hall?
Well, here at City Hall. Short commute.
Question. In the 12-week schedule, does that include the six-month permit process?
It's a six-week schedule. Did it include a permit process? You know, 12 weeks would have been relaxed, really. No, actually, there's a specific exemption in the building code for exhibits and stage sets. And this is not a real house. This is an exhibit. This is a stage set. And we tried to make, Pat and I made sure that structurally it's safe, that it's fully more than tried. It is. It is safe. It's handicap accessible. It is safe for, all of its uses. And there are no hazards, but it is not a habitable building. It is a stage set. It's a stage set.
The permit process is actually the friend of scrap use, because the delays caused in getting your permit from the time you have the building designed give you time to source your materials, to go wrangle your scrap. And I think that's why it takes so long.
I love meeting optimists.
That's great. I never really realized why I take so long in processing your permits, but now I know, and I'm glad to help anytime.
Thanks so
okay,
much.
Let's see. One of the things that I particularly like, Pat and I designed together, were these roof trusses.
Tested together.
They were classic
design of a truss, and then it's not really possible to actually calc it out, so we actually mocked them up together over at a local contractor's office. We manufactured two of them and load tested them up to the required load strength, and then doubled that load strength and measured the deflection. And it follows basically an ASTM specification on how to test structural elements that don't normally lend themselves to calculations, and came out with these trusses that carry twice the load with almost no deflection. So it's a pretty innovative way to come up with alternate designs using scrap materials out of construction sites.
Right. So these trusses are all made from junk metal studs from construction sites. A lot of it is extra lying around on half a pallet in the back the construction yard, or it's all junk.
All little pieces, and you just screw them together. That's the part that's kind of hard to do. Normally, no one would ever make this because it's extremely labor intensive. But since this was a scrap house and labor was volunteered, we modeled this out and designed these trusses.
Now, I remember it only took us about 25 minutes once we got up to make these trusses, once we got a system.
One.
But there are a lot of trusses here. There are a lot of trusses.
Pound for pound? Patrick, do you think that they are equivalent or exceed, or how would you rate this next to a wooden traditional wooden truss system of the same size?
It's extremely light compared to any other material.
And the strength for weight ratio?
Strength is also extremely high. Generally, our economy is all based on labor cost. So materials people don't worry about because it's all in labor. In this particular case, we had to scrap materials and labor was free. So this is a pretty innovative design that's giving us an extremely light house that is a very earthquake resistant house. The strength is extremely high for its weight and poundage. I mean, if you actually had to buy these materials just on the material cost, this house is incredibly inexpensive as a material cost.
Even if you were just to buy new metal trusses, metal studs cost almost nothing. Look at this. This is heavier gauge steel, and this came from the port, very generously donated from the Port of San Francisco. They tore down an old shed, and this was the leftover steel. It was much longer, and you can see it's a little bit bent at the top, and it was twisted, and we, you know, did what we could to cut off the usable sections and weld it up, and it gives us a very strong steel frame as well as something to set our windows on as well. Let's see, what else do we find in here that's interesting and amusing? Let's walk on.
Can you tell us about that up there? What do you got, signs up there or something?
Right. 3Com Park. Every time they change the name, we get a whole pile of signs. It's great. So there's 3. We had a lot of 3Com. We got these from the sign shop, the city sign shop. These are the excess, extra signs, old signs they've taken down. And let's see. Oh, here's a wonderful, wonderful table. John, do you know who made this table?
So many people. I have forgotten the name of the book. It's terrible. But
what is it made of?
Well, this is actually broken Heath tile. I happen to know that. And it's set in a matrix. And
matrix? What do you mean, matrix?
Well, this is just some sort of lightweight concrete.
Concrete. So it's made of concrete with broken tile in it. Very elegant. We made it to be handicap accessible so a wheelchair can roll up underneath it to show that even scrap can be used in an accessible manner. I got one of the really interesting stories here. The guy who was our scrap wrangler out here, Chicken John, Chicken, wonderful guy, he said he went to the dump, the landfill, and there was a box, a beautiful box, neatly wrapped, that said Grandma's China, and he opened it up, and this china was there, and it was all bubble wrapped carefully. No, it's not. He found the box of chicken of Grandma's China, and here it is.
I like the stainless steel floor and the stainless steel walls. Easily cleanable for a kitchen.
Yeah, that's right. Hose it down. Right.
When your pressure cooker explodes from putting too many beans in it, it's easy to...
It's easier than any other kitchen cabinets to clean.
And here's a lighting fixture designed for the house, sort of like a Moog light. You remember Moog design from when we were, young hippies? The Moog light. One of the things that I really like as a design feature are the guardrails on the mezzanine. Now, the mezzanine is built, but we don't let anyone go up there. It's not accessible for people with disabilities, and it's not accessible to anyone. And we want to make sure that we're equally accessible in the house, so it's just closed.
It's a concept. We wanted to show that you could build a mezzanine conceptually, structurally, architecturally within a house.
And the mezzanine floor is just a bunch of old metal joists that we found in the back of a yard somewhere. The stairs.
Members.
He said they're railroad ties, and they shape them down.
Wow.
Yeah. I don't know.
That's a big railroad.
That is one big railroad. Anyway, the guardrail up there, they laser cut out the pieces, and what we have is the negative of what they cut out. These are actually, this is the waste. They had already cut out the pieces and used them, and this is the scrap and the waste.
If they tell you that it was waste, you would say, God, someone spent a lot of effort making that great design.
I hate that wall. I hate that wall of keyboards. I spend enough time at a computer at work, sitting in front of a keyboard, hunched over it, pushing buttons, that I wouldn't want to actually live with it. But it's an interesting pattern and style and design, and there's something really interesting that we did, at least to make it a little more acceptable to me, and that's that we spray painted it with fireproof paint as a model, as an example. This is spray painted with something called intumescent paint, and when it heats up, it foams up, and this would be a foam thickness of almost an inch. And I'm not going to burn it in here, but I do have little samples I'm going to use outside with a blowtorch to show how it works. And so we got some positive value. We can show that we have fireproof paint. In my over 20 years of experience as a building inspector, fireproof paint is one of the few real dramatic improvements and advances in technology. I think it's great stuff. You can use it inside and outside. It's about $60 a gallon. The price is coming down, $50 a gallon now. It has to be sprayed on. You have to get a certificate that it was properly applied. But it will make the building, if you applied it to a wall or a door, it would actually provide a fireproof building. And we use it a lot for historic buildings now in San Francisco. Okay, let's... the Globe. Well, I know little about it. It's got somebody's name on it. Made for the scrap house by, can anybody got their glasses? I can't read it. See the little tag in there? By Tom Kennedy. Made for the scrap house.
But isn't there an artist program out of the dump that provides resources to allow this kind of art
there
to happen?
There is an artist in residence program at the San Francisco dump. I don't know if Tom is part of that. He may be, but I know Flash is part of that. Yeah. And Flash has a piece in the next room.
We're going to see Flash's piece.
And I think they do open houses a couple times a month.
At the dump.
And
This is a particularly nice piece for World Environment Day. This is the first time that the United Nations program, World Environment Day, has been held in the United States. And,
in North America.
In North America. And
it's... The continents are made from plows.
What do you mean?
Steel comes from plows.
Swords to plowshares.
Yeah, so the earth is... the land masses are made of the things that till the soil.
Wonderful. That's a lovely piece. Oh, hold on.
Now that you've mentioned this source of materials for artists, maybe you could talk a little more about whether San Francisco has a program or intends to have a program to make it possible to get recycled materials for building instead of running around from this place to that place, as you did to make this project come together.
Right. We did a lot of running around. A lot of people ran around. There are already in San Francisco a number of places where you can get reclaimed, recycled, reused construction materials. Building Resources, which is down on Cargo Way, off of 3rd Street.
Yeah. Is Urban Ore in the East Bay.
Well, Building Resources, I want to plug them because they did us a huge amount of materials here. And this is scrap, all the masonite sheets and, you know, around the building. A lot of the stuff came from Building Resources, and they generously donated. I think the doors might have even come from Building Resources.
Yes, they did. No, they're a great program.
And it's a terrific place, very low cost. You know, they appreciate that this is a scrap material. This is not like a precious objet d'art, you know. Now, there are also other places around. You mentioned Urban Ore. There's Caldwell Wrecking. There are all sorts of places around the city, and you can find them in the Yellow Pages. But Brad Tardy, who's here, Brad and I worked on a program with BOMA, Building Owners and Managers Association, and the Department of the Environment. Laura works for the Department of the Environment, to write legislation which is coming to institutionalize the reuse and scrap of materials from construction sites, right?
Yeah, that's correct. So there's what's going to be implemented here pretty soon is everybody who throws away material, especially in the downtown corridor, is going to need to send it to a certified hauler and a waste recycler so that the material is going to be actually recycled. And this program, it's been going on in the Bay Area, and a number of the communities have it. It's a recycled program. And I think San Francisco is probably doing the best job at implementing it. And we put a lot of effort into writing it so that it really benefits both the community and the city.
Right. We're trying to take the burden off of the contractor. They don't have to separate the stuff on the job site. They just give it to the hauler, and they take it to a certified recycling facility. It's not a law yet. It's going to be introduced by the mayor or President Peskin sometime.
One of the things that we found, though, that a lot of this material isn't really getting into the recycling stream. This is stuff that's sitting in construction yards, brand new, never been used, and it's on the way to the scrap yard. So a lot of the structural elements here were going to be slated to be dumped because they're excess, the windows, and I think the architect can talk about it if he's here. When you build a new building, you will buy a certain percentage of overstock in case you break the glass, because if you break a couple windows and you got to order them, that slows down the job. So in a lot of construction, I'm a structural engineer, we'll over-order 20%, and if a couple windows break, you've got them on stock. So these windows in this building have never been used. John, do you want to talk about the windows?
I think we did on the way in.
But it's a credible amount of stuff that's scrap, but it's never been used. And we need to figure a way to get that back into the system because materials are cheap.
And so like the metal studs, for example, that we make the trusses out of are just sitting in the back of somebody's yard, and they're rusting on a half a pallet, and pretty soon they'll be scrap enough so they have to junk them.
Well, exactly. A lot of this came from one contractor where they'll do a major tenant improvement build out, and they'll order thousands and thousands of these studs, and at the end of the job they have 400 left. They bring them back to the yard and they dump them there. The next job, they order thousands and thousands and thousands, and they have 400 left over. They bring them back, and then pretty soon their junkyard's all filled up with this material, and then they put it into a dumpster and ship it down to the dump. Never been used. A lot of this material was just sitting in the backyard of a contractor, never been used, and we got into the middle of that.
Interrupted the waste stream. We intercepted the waste stream and diverted it.
Brought it right in here, and it's incredible how much is there and how much of it was like, you want it? Take it, please.
They're happy to get rid of it.
Happy.
Is that available to the public? Can anybody go in there and take it?
Well, you just need to know how to ask, and we knew how to ask. Now, the question is how does the public figure out how to ask?
That's through this construction and demolition recycling ordinance, which is going to actually feed this stuff into the regular waste stream. The chain is not yet complete. You know, we're going to go from the construction job to the recycling center. We have to figure out how to bring that back.
And the people doing the construction are more than happy. I think we asked everybody, and not one person said no. Matter of fact, just about everyone said, you need more.
Right.
We've got plenty. Let's
They're happy. They're happy to see it used. Let's walk on through here and walk through on the conveyor belt that is from the San Francisco airport. This is an old conveyor belt for luggage. It's a great flooring material. This is some siding, interior cladding from the airport, leftover stuff, some more of this lovely e-waste. You know, e-waste is a problem, not just for us. Worldwide, e-waste is a problem. And keyboards and computer screens and all that actually contain materials that you probably want to think twice before you put them in your house.
Those are ceiling tiles, by the way.
Ah, thank you. Ceiling tiles, perforated, reducing sound, right?
Right.
They have the perforating, the sound absorptive foam is still in place.
It's quiet back in here, too. Okay, come on in here and you can check it out. The bathroom we tiled, we just ran the tile right up and through. This is just old waste tile. You can take a few boxes of tile, a few odds and ends of fixtures, a little more e-waste for those people who like, you know, toxics up on the wall. And the other walls are just made of basically, it's a masonite-like hardboard substance with a printed panel picture on it. And out here is many people's favorite room with a leather floor and fire hose wall. Isn't that great?
Yeah.
And fire hoses, you know, they can't use them forever, and they can't wait for them to deteriorate, so they actually have to, cycle through the fire hoses. And
there's fire resistance to it as well, don't you think?
Especially if you fill them with water.
Yeah.
It'd be really fire resistant.
Could we fill them up with water?
We could, sure. We'll just pump them full. And up above our head here is a really wonderful piece of art. It is a chandelier made entirely of traffic signal lenses. And at nighttime, this whole little house glows all across Civic Center Plaza. So just a wonderful little...
Because when the type of bulb was changed in the city traffic lighting system from a lower voltage,
LED,
to an LED light source, these heavy glass lenses took too much light to penetrate. So they replaced them all with lighter plastic lenses, and so the scrapyards are swimming in these really large, beautiful glass lenses.
Builders Resource has boxes and boxes of these beautiful lenses.
I have a quick question. It looks like there's a light on up there right now. How's that being powered?
We're powering the entire house by an extension cord that runs across the lawn and plugs in, and that's all we have. We have solar panels, and the solar panels are designed to run the fish pond pumps, actually, but we do have solar. And Paganini Electric did the wiring, and one of our senior electrical inspectors who used to work with Paganini years ago, David Green, helped him out. We had everybody help out, and I haven't listed the names of all those people, but tremendous number of contractors. John Pollard from SF Garage and Matarosi Pelsinger were the two lead contractors who put probably $50,000 worth of structural
Wong
construction, granite construction, doing the hauling it over here, and they're going to tear it down. People say, what's going to happen? This building has to be out by Monday noon. Today is Friday noon. It's happening any time now. So Monday at about 3:30, we're going to close the house. We're going to take the art out of it. We're going to deconstruct it and return it to the waste stream. We're going to take it all apart, we're going to scrap it out, and the metal will go to the scrap metal, and the wood will go to scrap wood, and the glazing we're going to try and save and reuse and give it to Builders Resources if we can. We have one thing, and I haven't really looked at this. We have a pad here where people can write their comments, and I just think it would be fun to take a look at this. From Xander, I really like it. First grade. I like the scrap house. See if we see some comments.
Right.
It's beyond me. I like it, is all. I like to eat it. All I know is
how many kids have come through this?
Well, yesterday, So, Pat said, how many kids have come through? Yeah, the people love it. The kids love it. Yesterday we had 3,000 to 4,000 people through this. Let's walk outside because there's something really important you have to see out here. So, Harvey, you're wonderful. So Pat Buskovich, who's our structural engineer, came out and he said, you know, how can you build a scrap house without building a scrap dog house? And he and his son built our little scrap dog house for Harvey.
Yeah.
And it's wonderful. And it has an actual window in it, a window on the side. And Harvey's been out here making sure everything's right. Isn't that right, Harvey? Let's see. We had just a few things to do when we closed this out. I just want to mention some of the people who really made this thing happen. San Francisco Fire Department, Mario Ballard, the captain, helped with fire prevention. We had a lot of financial donors. The biggest cost for this whole project was insurance, if you can imagine, because we had like 130 people working on it. We didn't have any accidents, no injuries, and it will be that way until we get it down on Sunday. Shorenstein Company gave us a lot of money, Rudolph and Sletten, maybe 50 contractors all chipped in, you know, 500,000, well, you know. And a lot of them, oh yeah, we didn't pay any contractors, but they chipped in both in time and labor and some of them money to pay our other expenses. It's a great project. You had some comments.
I just one thing. I think most engineers and architects are so used to thinking within the box. I'm going to design a house. I open up my book. I order all this stuff. This is kind of a unique idea where you don't just order the material. You go find it, and you build it. And that's pretty much maybe 200 years ago when the pioneers came. They didn't order anything. They went to the forest and found what they could, chopped it down, and built it. And we've gotten to a point now in our lives where no one does that. You just order it. So here, everything is here is what we could find. We made the house around what we could scrap.
Right. There's a... there's an interesting point in the building code, and one of the reasons that I'm here and the building department is sponsoring this project. The building code gives you two ways to build buildings. You can build them according to the cookbook, and it says studs are 16 inches on center and foundations are, you know, 12, 18 inches wide, whatever it is. Or, if you don't want to do that, you design it. And you can design it the way we did this, where you design it on the back of an envelope. If you have the skill and ability like our architects and engineers have, or we will be happy to work with any architect, engineer, homeowner who wants to use alternate methods and materials. We like that. It makes my job certainly more exciting. Brad, do you have anything to share in our final comments?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know what you've done here is incredible. I mean, it's actually a real structure, and you know, with the exception of a few of the, you know, the windows being open, I mean, you could literally, with the right structural engineer, you could take these materials and you could really make a permanent structure. Sure. So that's the first thing. And the second thing is, it's obvious that we have a problem where people can't get these reused materials. They can't reuse them. They get recycled, they get sent to facilities, they get melted down, they turn into new products. But maybe what we need to do is create an environment, maybe at the landfill or at the recycle place, and maybe open up a store there and say, here, you can buy used studs.
I mean, we have to finish that chain. So we're going to be taking the materials from construction sites. We're taking them to the yard where we're going to separate them out. Now we have to make it clear that you can go there and get the materials and reuse them. And so the loop is not done, but with the Department of the Environment and working together on all the other agencies, BOMA, and we can close that loop on this thing. John, did you have any final comments as the architect?
Sure. I mean, I think one of the interesting things is to realize is that this is just suggesting a beginning. I mean, we are so early in this process, and what's, you know, just been talked about, there's so much material that we simply don't have access to, and we don't have a mechanism by which we can get access to it. The contractors aren't thinking this way, right. and rightfully so. They're not being.
But times are changing fast. The whole green building thing is happening day by day here. Here's one of our contributors, Jack Davis. Come on over here. Say hello. And I want to close by just, this is a symbolic thank you. Jack Davis runs SoMarts here in San Francisco. I am great.
Great building.
And thank you. You gave us a lot of plywood from your old stuff that we used on the floor and the roof. In fact, the roofing is your plywood.
It couldn't have gone to a better place.
Oh, thank you, Jack. So on behalf of the huge team that built the scrap house, the scrap team, Harvey the scrap dog, all of us in the Department of Building Inspection. I want to thank everybody, and I could not be happier. This is a fantastic project.
And it's important to note that there's a huge amount of creativity as yet untapped inside the city government, and here we have a great example of it.
Oh, shucks. Thank you all very much.